Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go out. Let's get after the Vikings.
And I just feel like you feel good about the work that you've put in, the preparation, and now it's really just excitement. You know, I think with this team especially, we're just really excited to go out there, have our whole squad together playing meaningful football, and just see where we're at.
Kyle, when you think about where you've come from and the Niners, watching this team grow right before your eyes, you're a veteran, you've been around it. This team's going to go through some ups and downs. You're going to be there, you know, there to right the ship. I love the things that you bring to the table. Is there things that you talk to any of the linebackers when you're playing against other team and say, hey, man, I got to bring out that knife today. I'm going to have to cut you because I see you getting guys down. I'm watching you on the perimeter, watching you mix it up your way, your style of blocking. Do you kind of warn them so then they don't know what you're going to do? Or are you going to kiss them in the mouth or are you going to cut their legs out?
Violent.
That's funny you notice that and you bring that up.
I watch you, Coach. I watch you.
we had the joint practices with Houston. And we step on the field the first day for practice, and right away, their Mike linebacker and Clowney come up to me, you know, because we had played them last season. And one of the very first things they say to me, like, hey, now you can't cut me today in practice. You can't get me like you did last year. And, yeah, definitely, I do like to get in linebackers' heads and, try to mix it up with them. And I can't tell you how many times, like, guys have said something to me about me cutting them in the game, and, you know, I just kind of laugh at them, and, you know, maybe I'll tell them, all right, I'll stay up next time, and, of course, I'm just going to cut them again. it's a mental warfare out there, so you got to get in these guys' heads and keep them on their toes.
How much more is the cut block and blocks like that going to be used now because of the new helmet-to-helmet rule, even though most of the calls go against the defense? As an offensive player, particularly blocking, do you have to be mindful of that when you're leading into the hole?
No, to be honest, I'm not very mindful of it. I haven't really thought about it. I try to keep, you know, my head out of it anyways. So that hasn't necessarily been the reason that that I've used it. But I could see how, someone could argue that'd be a reason that they cut more.
Kyle Juszczyk joining us here on 95.7 The Game. A lot of talking heads debate this, but we rarely hear from the players on the issue. How do you and your teammates feel about the idea of shortening the preseason? Is that something players would be receptive to?
Just from the guys that I've talked to and just the general feel around the locker room, yes, I do feel like most players would like to shorten that preseason.
Now, conversely, if that came with an 18-game regular season, how do you think players would feel about that, assuming pay would go up commensurate with those two additional games?
Yeah, I mean, that's the assumption that definitely makes a big difference, is are we getting paid for those two extra games? Is there an extra bye week in there? There's a lot of different nuances to it, but I think people are open to the conversation.
Cal, when you view yourself and you know you're a leader on this team, and I used to tell LT and the guys that I would block for, I said, get on my hip and don't dip. Let's ride. Hey, McKinnon being down, what is your relationship with the tailbacks? How important is you to have them on the same page and get that, you know, kind of that dancing partner, knowing what you're doing and kind of that thought process? What are some of the things that you tell your running backs to understand you guys are vital to getting that running game going, especially in Minnesota?
Yeah, no, it's definitely important to have a good relationship in the backfield like that. And, you know, we've been a really tight group this whole off season, and to see Jack go down definitely hurt. We were all feeling for him, but yeah, you know, you hear from most teams it's always next man up. Luckily, you know, Alfred showed up at the right time, and Alfred had fit into the group right away. And really, I mean, we always talk about, like, the running game starts with us. And so we got to set that tone. And as Kyle likes to tell us, we got to shock the defense on that first play. So as soon as you touch that ball and you hit the line of scrimmage, you can't be taking the hit. You got to be delivering it. So that's something that we talk about in our room.
Does this change the role of Jimmy Garoppolo as it pertains to throwing to running backs? Because Jerick McKinnon was going to be a big feature in the passing game as well. Does this maybe provide you more targets, or does this change the passing attack at all?
You know what? It's going to be interesting to see. We're going to get our game plan today, but, you know, guys like Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert and myself, we've all had experience catching the football, so I think all three of us, you know, be able to take over parts of that where Jet was more involved. But we're going to find out here today when I go get this game plan.
49ers fullback Kyle Juszczyk joining us here on 95.7 The Game. How's the first-round pick Mike McGlinchey picking up the offense? He's going to make his first start in a very hostile environment in Minnesota on Sunday. How's everything been going so far for the young guy?
Man, Mike's been a rock star. He's been the ultimate pro. I think it's been huge having Joe Staley with him. Those two are literally best friends. You never see those two apart. But he's just done a great job of embracing his role and just really getting into the playbook, because the guy knows what he's doing out there. I feel like he's performing pretty well. And, it's telling that, so we're playing Indianapolis and, you know, say he does make a mistake, or he did make a mistake. He knew he made a mistake right away. You know, he's talking to himself, come on, Mike, you know better than that. And just for him to be in that position where he, if he does make a mistake, he understands that he did, just knows that he, like, shows that he has knowledge of what he's supposed to be doing out there.
I tell you what, you could always, I should tell my tackles, hey, I got you outside. Just don't get beat inside. And if you can get those ribs when they try to swim over the top, them ribs, I drop guys like that. So look for those rib shots. But real quick, how much has where you came from Baltimore, kind of helped this transition? Far as a guy, you know what Harbaugh brings to the table. Tell me how much what that helped you in doing a transition to San Fran.
Yeah, I definitely think it's helped. Baltimore is definitely known for being a blue collar team that grinds it out, works their tails off, just, has a good work ethic. And I feel like that's something that I've been able to bring to San Francisco. You know, we got a team full of young guys, and you need people to kind of show them the way and show them what it means to be a pro and what it's like to put that work in every day. So, I do my best to lead by example and take those things that I've learned growing up in, my career in Baltimore, bring it here.
You mentioned you're excited for the season to start. We all are, and it's a tough test at Minnesota, a defense that's as comparable to any that you've faced in the past year or so. How great is the challenge going up against a physical defense in their stadium?
Definitely going to be a good challenge, one that we're going to embrace. But, that's what you need. You need to play against good teams, good defense, to measure where you're at. And really, we go out there and have success against a good defense like this. That's only going to build our confidence and build our momentum going forward.
Two-time Pro Bowler, San Francisco 49ers fullback Kyle Juszczyk with Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Kyle, we know you're busy, so we really appreciate the time. Best of luck this week in Minnesota, and hopefully we can do it again down the road.
Absolutely. Great being on with you guys.
My man.
Thank you so much. Kyle Juszczyk, ladies and gentlemen. Did you see that Minnesota signed Cole Hikutini to their practice squad?
No.
49ers tight end.
Subterfuge.
A couple days ago. Now, why would they do something like that? He was with the Niners throughout all the preseason.
Yeah.
He's one of the last guys cut. The Vikings pick him up for their practice squad. They've got Kyle Rudolph at tight end.
Right.
Presumably they're good. Why would they do that?
It's sharing information, intel. You go get a guy that's smart. You get a guy that that's been in there. He knows the hot read. He knows the side adjustments. He knows the signal calls. He understands what they're doing. He's been in that huddle. He understands to get the line. Kill, 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 kill. All right, and then what's the next one? Okay, 4:55. What's the call? So he can tell them, you hear a kill, what's it on? So this guy's going to be able to bring a lot of intel that the San Francisco 49ers do to the Minnesota Vikings.
Were you ever in a situation where you played on a team where a guy like that was brought in?
Absolutely.
So what do they do? Is it like when a spy comes in from the cold, they sit him down and debrief him over the course of a couple days?
Pretty much. He knows that guy's only in there for a week or he's on the practice squad, and we've had it during the season. Guy get cut up, we're bringing him in. And you'll see the defensive coach, especially when playing against a high power offense, just sitting there. Okay, what do they do here? Or when they go trips, what are they thinking? And it's crazy the kind of intel some of these guys bring. Sometimes guys have still their plans, because what you get usually, you know, when you have a game plan, most of the guys take them. I got every playbook, the teams that I played with, I photocopied that crap. I wanted to make sure, because I thought about getting in coaching afterwards.
Right,
to make sure the different coverages and different things. So I got all those different playbooks. You photocopy them, you keep them, you turn your playbook back in. You always.
No one's the wiser.
Exactly.
Right. Sure. So, and you were on, what, 17?
Absolutely.
So when we go to the Jets, it's like, I know what New Orleans runs. Hold on a second. He goes through his files. Cincinnati, no. Baltimore, no.
But it was never necessary for intel and different things like
that.
It was just for me just to have an understanding. Always wanted to.
Because you're no snitch.
Yeah, snitches get stitches.
I always
wanted to make sure what the defense were doing. I wanted to understand how were they dropping in the zone? What's their coverage? I would always go to defense. I mean, even with John Pagano, you could ask these guys. A lot of times I had extra time. I'd go sit and watch defense and go with them. I wanted to
spy on them, too.
Just to
spy
find out
on everybody.
You know, to understand
sneaky
their philosophy.
For being 260.
Bo Neal's essentially Arnold Schwarzenegger in True Lies.
Whoa!
You can be Tom Arnold.
I didn't see.
Great.
I didn't see that coming,
hold
guys.
Hold on, I've got your moment of zen, because we're almost at the end of the segment.
I'm sorry, I was fired
Your moment
up.
Of zen. Breaking news from Sam Sweeney of ABC.
Oh, Sam.
An Emirates A380 is currently in quarantine at JFK Airport right now, awaiting the Center for Disease Control officials after about 100 passengers became ill with fevers over 100 degrees and coughing. Flight 203 had just arrived from Dubai.
Oh, boy.
So think about this. Mm. Someone gets on a plane in Dubai.
Oh, God.
That flight to D.C. is 14 hours and 20 minutes. And in 14 hours and 20 minutes, 100 people minimum are infected with this thing. All with temperatures over 100 degrees,
scary.
All coughing.
That's scary, Coach.
Man,
that is scary.
Make you
like
want to turn off that vent above you.
It's like that movie Outbreak, Dustin Hoffman.
Yes.
No, you're for real. And these new diseases out there, kids, be careful. A lot of stuff, everyone be careful.
And that's your moment of zen. As we get set to button it up with your Niner game plan next.
Oh,
Joe
Lowe
and Dibs, 95.7, the Center for Disease Control.
The NFL is back. It's on 95.7 The Game.
The Vikings! The Vikings have won!
Tomorrow, it's the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles versus the Atlanta Falcons. And you can hear the game right here, starting at 5:30.
They have finally done it! The city of Philadelphia has a Super Bowl champion!
The NFL lives on 95.7 The Game. Opening night, the playoffs, and the Super Bowl. It's Westwood One's coverage of the NFL, and it's now on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, the temperamental listening audience, because we love you. And because, well, a couple of popular stories are back in our lives. We've got the Niner-Viking preview coming up in just a few minutes. Just the tip, as it's only Wednesday. We will be getting deeper, further into the game plan analysis tomorrow and Friday. Why is everyone laughing?
Because we'll go through all the ins and outs.
Right.
And then the ins and outs again. And it was great. We were smiling because your imagery was very flowery.
Thorough, detailed knowledge.
I felt like
classic,
part of the temperamental
classic,
listening audience
classic
right
joke.
There.
Classic troll. Look at,
it's not trolling.
And just that it's little evil
pictures.
Laugh.
If you didn't have the mind of a 12-year-old,
why did all of us look?
I see
Dibs
everybody
actually kept the face pretty straight.
Thank you, Anna.
I see everyone blushing.
Right.
Dibs kept the straight face.
Did he?
The two teenagers couldn't handle it.
That's true.
Dibs gave us the look like,
we were all intrigued.
But like a pro, he realized what was going on and then buttoned it back up and realized there's a job to
when
do.
You've been in the business as long as I have, and I was in kindergarten when I started, for crying out loud.
That is true.
Jeez, I mean, I'm going on to Cincinnati.
I'll say it.
He's an idiot. Let's get into something light, shall we? Something light to start this segment.
Please.
There apparently is a new billboard in town. Has anyone seen it?
I haven't. What are you talking about,
very
Joe?
Light conversation. Really? There is a new billboard over in Union Square right now. Now, you may be wondering, football.
Raiders, right?
I don't care about a new billboard.
Jimmy G.
We already have that Coca-Cola sign, which is fantastic. It lights up like back in the day, very old school to it. But there is a new advertisement in Union Square, the top of the Nike building of all places. And it's a picture of the face of one Colin Kaepernick. And it says, quote, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything."
Wow.
Now, this is the new slogan and the new pitch man for Nike's 30th anniversary of their Just Do It campaign. So Just Do It came out 30 years ago. They wanted to do something this year to commemorate that. Colin Kaepernick, who was already a Nike endorser but had been, quote, on the bench the last couple years, is now the face of this launch. There will be Colin Kaepernick apparel. There will be Colin Kaepernick advertisements. There will be Colin Kaepernick conversations and Colin Kaepernick appearances, all that stuff. Apparently, these meetings have been taking place for quite some time, but they've been taking place in secret. According to Darren Rovell of ESPN this morning, the NFL had no idea this was taking place for a variety of reasons, one of which is because Nike is the official apparel sponsor of the National Football League. Colin will make millions off this as well. This is not a cheap deal. And presumably, the country is in an uproar. Now, whatever side of the equation you're on, we'll get to that at some point. We'll take some calls, 888-957-9570. But let's start with just the basic question. How surprising was it to learn that not only is Nike coming out with this big-time campaign, but that Colin Kaepernick is going to be the face of it and that Colin Kaepernick is going to be the pitch man for it?
You know what? It's not necessarily surprising. I think, Joe, we started this thing a couple years ago when this all came out. I told you guys I wouldn't kneel. I said, I understand it's freedom of speech and you can do what you want. I don't necessarily think it's wrong. I understand when you kneel down to kings, you kneel down to God. Those are things that you're showing you to submission. So I don't think it's a sign necessarily of disrespect, but I understand people's view on this. Colin got the information from a soldier, a vet, to say, here, he kneel. I understand Colin had problems. But I've said all along that this guy in 20, 30 years from now, Colin Kaepernick is going to be bigger than any quarterback, any bigger than any black athlete that ever played in the National Football League. What he sacrificed, and people can say can't play and all these different things, you'll see. Because when this thing's all, when the dust settles and it's all cleared, this thing is going to, it's not even close to being over, and the NFL is going to have to probably pay millions and millions of dollars. So Nike, they thought this thing out. Nike's too big of a company just to say, oh, by the flight of sea, oh, Colin, hey, how you doing? We're going to do this campaign. This is something, Joe, that's been thought of for years, and now it's come to fruition.
Colin's collusion lawsuit against the National Football League just got through the summary judgment phase. I won't bore you with the particulars because, well, I failed the bar exam. I was too busy playing poker back in the days of online poker. But I do know this. Summary judgment was the NFL going for a dismissal, an outright dismissal of this case before it got to the really serious stages. The NFL lost that portion of this case, which means it is going to proceed. And I don't think there's any dollar amount in the world they can offer Colin to make him go away for a settlement. I think he wants this in open court, and I don't think he cares if he loses. He just wants this to get to a point where people need to testify under oath and that discovery needs to take place. As much evidence as humanly possible gets out there. Because remember, if you find a team that turns over a scouting report that has Colin Kaepernick graded higher than some of the players they've signed, how do you answer for that? How do you answer for that? Those are things that are going to be in the public light. Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, individuals like that testifying under oath,
right,
with detailed reporting taking place by the minute on Twitter so that the world knows what's going on. This is a very dangerous situation for the NFL. But again, for Nike to step out there and do this, for Nike to take on Colin Kaepernick as its lead endorser when they've got individuals like LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Serena Williams, Tiger Woods. Does it surprise you that he is now the face of Nike?
It surprised me at first, and then luckily yesterday, Lo and I had a chance to talk after the show about it and what Lois saying about Colin Kaepernick in 20 and 30 years and the fact that the Nike brand is associated with a lot of African Americans. And you just mentioned a bunch of athletes who endorse it. And I know a lot of people buy their products as well. And so it makes perfect sense in the long play. And then you start thinking about it in the short term. And already you've seen LeBron James come out on Twitter and say, I stand with Nike. So now you're going to see more and more athletes who are endorsed by Nike lining up even more behind Nike because they've endorsed Colin Kaepernick, or he's endorsing their product. And ostensibly, Nike's endorsing Colin, saying, we stand with Colin. And so to have that big of a brand behind the movement, I think is powerful in and of itself. And of course, there's going to be massive backlash. That's America. It's what we do now. All we do is argue about things. But the fact that they're going with the campaign in this fashion, I was absolutely stunned. But the more you look at it, it makes brilliant marketing sense, I think.
Two popular opinions to play off of what you said and what Lowe said. Number one, Nike is making a future bet here.
Yeah.
They're betting the future. They're betting that 10, 20, 30 years from now, like Lowe's been saying from the beginning of this, that when history looks back on Colin Kaepernick, he will be viewed far more favorably than he is now. And as a result, Nike wants to be linked to that association. Nike, 20, 30 years from now, wants to be able to point back and go, remember when everyone turned on him? We were there.
Yeah.
We're Nike. That's bet number one. Bet number two, everybody's talking about Nike today.
Yeah.
Whether they're against it or not, Dibs, right along with your point, everybody is talking about Nike. Now, it's not always favorable, but everybody's talking about Nike at the moment. That is a big deal for a company. So, and I can see why this is taking place.
And I'll tell you guys this, and this is why people say, oh, you're crazy, and Pat, you know, guys feel that. I get it. They gave their life, and I gave that. And I, like I said, I wouldn't have nailed, but here's the thing people have to realize. 20 years from now, 30 years from now, Tom Brady's arguably the greatest quarterback. Joe Montana's the greatest quarterback that ever played. They're not going to be in history books. They're not going to be in college. They're not going to be where professors are teaching lectures.
Okay, those history books.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be in the football history.
They'll be in
right.
Football. That's, okay. Yeah. But the masses cross, not just, they aren't going to be in, they're gonna, I'm talking about the world. This is United States, we are the biggest and baddest and the toughest and the most liberal country ever. And it's a melting pot. So people have to realize this is a part of history, whether you want to believe it or not, that's going to go far further than just the U.S. This is going to into Asia. It's going to go all over because they're going to say, here's this country. Here's what this guy did. And here's football. The platform is because football is the most watched sport in America, in the world. So now you mean to tell me now an incident regarding the most favorite pastime? And you now it's heat I took from my community and so many people there because I voted for Trump, and people looked at me like, "Lo, you're crazy," because I, you know, you think change and all this, and all of a sudden now you're like, wow. And you have to express yourself and you get hate. I mean, that in-laws, I had the father-in-law, like, why could you do that? And I said, because my beliefs and this and that and the other. But now you see what happened. Take this thing even further. You look at a guy who said, get those, you know, blankety blanks off to get their ass off the field from kneeling, the president. And all of a sudden, you got a war hero, and everyone said, oh, but Tillman and all these war heroes. And you had Senator McCain die, and this guy didn't even want to lower the flag. And how hypocritical are you guys on the text line just talking about who he died and Pat Tillman and all the different things that you guys talk about for American? And you look at a senator who passed, who was went and fought in wars and did all those things. And our president did that. And then now you want to say, oh, it's okay for him not to do that. But then he can talk about Colin and those guys on the field. Which master do you want to serve? If you're going to be Jess, be Jess.
It's a hypocrisy across all platforms. And that was well said, Lo.
Jessica Simpson?
That's well said. I saw a picture circulating over the weekend of Tim Tebow kneeling for the national anthem, which was for a different protest many, many years ago. And that, of course, was glossed over because it was an anti-abortion protest. And, of course, the right wings or whoever else is outraged about the anthem protest, quote unquote. They weren't offended by that. So the hypocrisy that Lowe's talking about, it's in all of us. I mean, how many anthems have you been to in your life? Probably 1,000. And you tell me every time you've gone hat off, hand over heart, and, you know, quietly reflecting? Of course not. So that sort of hypocrisy lives in all of us.
One interesting point I want to bring up right now, because this is going to carry us for a little while, is that we've had this discussion on air now for how long? Probably about 10 minutes. How long have we been doing this? 10, 11
minutes? Roughly, yeah.
You'll notice no one's yelled at anyone. You'll notice no one's screamed at anyone, belittled anyone, called anyone a name. I tried to derail Lowe by bringing Jessica Simpson into it. It didn't work. Dib stepped in nicely. But the point of the situation is that we are trying to demonstrate a point with this conversation. It can be civil. People can listen to one another in this conversation, and we can try to work through things. We can hear each other's opinions. We can respect each other's opinions, and we can move forward. Because the biggest problem with all of this is that no one on either side is willing to listen to the other. One of the biggest hangups right now is that a lot of people feel that the protest is a protest against the anthem. It is not an anthem protest. No one is upset with the anthem, and yet that message does not get through. Some people feel it's a protest against the military. It is not. But because it is a protest taking place during a moment where we honor the country, and because the military is often synonymous with the country, people get offended by that. Each side of the equation, not just one, each side of the equation needs to listen to the other. Or I shouldn't say needs, because that's a little too demanding. Should listen to the other, because then maybe we can advance the dialogue. That is what this show, in all its brilliance, is attempting to do right now. We are not all politically aligned in this room. We are not all aligned on several things in this room. We're different people with different backgrounds from different areas. And yet, we provide brilliance on a regular basis. I will go ahead and be very arrogant right now. Not humbly. I'll wear the t-shirt that says number one show in the world, whether it's accurate or not. But that's the point. We want to welcome you into the conversation, but it's going to be that. It's going to be a conversation. It's not going to be a debate. It's not going to be a screaming match. We're all going to be talking. Lo, what's the... If you ever write the book one day, what's the title going to be?
We're All Family, Let's Talk.
I think that's a beautiful title. I think you could release a book with 300 blank pages and just that title, and people will be lining up to buy it. I can't wait to see what this is. And then you open up, it's like, where's the words?
Yeah.
No, there are no words.
He's out of words.
I'm out of words. I ran out of words on the cover.
I'm out of words.
I didn't even dedicate this thing to anybody. But that's the point. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. If you would like to weigh in to talk about Nike's new campaign, we'd love to hear from you. But again, we're going to talk about it. We're going to discuss it. We're going to lay out both sides. And we're going to try to reach dialogue. We're going to try to at least demonstrate that at the very least, it is possible in this country for people to talk to one another and for people to talk to one another about an issue that is polarizing. People from both sides. We're not going to screen the calls and take only the people some of us may want to hear. We're going to hear from everyone. So the phone line is open. 888-957-9570. I will say this. I always find it fascinating when people who are upset with a company decide to start burning that company's product. For example, there are a lot of individuals who are upset with Nike for using Colin Kaepernick as an endorser, so they are burning their Nike products. Number one, perhaps you could give those products away to people who are less fortunate, people in Puerto Rico or around the world,
right,
who could use those shoes or those clothes. But number two, if 84 Lumber sided with something politically that you didn't agree with, would you burn your own house down? That's not even meant to be funny, though.
No, it's hilarious.
It's just so fascinating to me.
It's hilarious.
If Chevrolet was endorsing something that you weren't willing to get behind, wow, would you push your car off the bridge?
Absolutely.
Why is it only a pair of socks?
If Sherwin-Williams takes a controversial stance, I'm stripping all the paint off my house. That's it. And I'll immediately march outside and get my sandblaster.
Oh, Dodge did that old Deezer. I'm not burning that old Deezer.
Exactly.
Right.
Why?
That's a great... I've never heard it put in those terms.
Well, that's the brilliance of the show as we go back to the arrogant portion of the program. That's the brilliance of the show is that we're trying to create a picture. It's easy to burn a pair of socks. But if it really came down to it, are you going to burn your house down if the lumber company that constructed that thing takes a political stance that you don't agree with? No, you would not burn down your own house because that would be insane. It's insane to go out and do that. There's no reason for that whatsoever. To be upset is one thing. Sure, have the emotion. Discuss it. Speak to your representatives. Get out and vote about it. But don't burn your socks.
And it's selective outrage, Joe, because if you think about a lot of companies, and I don't know if Nike does this, but a lot of their goods and materials are made in countries where the conditions of the workers are so substandard and so subpar, underpaid, overworked, child labor, etc. But we're not outraged at that. But the company decides to put a controversial figure out as a spokesperson, and now we're going to burn our socks and cut them to shreds? Where's the outrage for all of the human beings who are being put out by these large conglomerates?
It won't because of the fact it's about one thing, M-O-N-E-Y. Yeah. Because now the shareholders who, I'll go buy Nike if it continues to plummet, I'm going to buy it. Why? Because the stock drops and I understand it's coming back. So you look at it. Why do they do it and why do companies do it? Doesn't make it right. But it's for the people, it's for the wealth and people to invest in stocks, invest in stuff. And that's why they go get the sweat labor and all those different things around it.
Three notes on that. Number one, for everyone pointing out the Nike stock drop yesterday, Adidas, Reebok, Puma, every shoe company dropped yesterday. It had nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick. It had to do with NAFTA. So let's get the narrative right on that topic.
Trade.
Number two. That is one way to play the other side of the fence here. If we're going to present everything, we do have to present the fact that Colin Kaepernick, who's trying to stand up for essentially equal rights, is representing a company that does not treat people with equal rights who produce its product. He should have to address that at some point. He should have to get up and, well, you're standing with Nike, so you stand with sweatshops in
developing countries.
Southeast Asia. The Pacific Rim. What are you going to say about that? That should be something you have to address if you're going to stand with this company. So at the same time, we can play both sides of it here. That's number two. Number three, Nike is in this for one thing and one thing only. This is for money. Nike is not out here trying to make a political statement. They could have taken a statement on anything at any time. They're choosing to make a move here because they know deep down it's about money.
They received more than $43 million worth of media exposure in the 24 hours since the announcement was made.
$43
million. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's like two Super Bowl commercials right there.
At the same time, the Fraternal Order of Police, the individual who's the head of that, I guess maybe you could call it union or organization, he is now calling for a full-on boycott of Nike products. So $43 million in free advertising. It is also leading to some negative publicity.
Yeah.
Whether or not any publicity is good publicity is up to you, but the number is 888-957-9570.
I know we got a full phone lines here lit, but...
Do we? Is this a polarizing issue?
I think people may be interested. The Nike stock, by the way, over the last 6 months, up 25%. It's up again today from where it closed yesterday. So you look at the graph of the stock, and it's only been climbing despite yesterday's minor blip.
Interesting uptick there. This is supposed to be a serious conversation.
Just to get to the phones, right. a little uptick and we're out.
All right, I'm just going to begin in order from top to bottom. I'm not going to even look at what these people want to talk about. I don't want to even be perceived to have bias. This is about conversation. We will cut you off if you cannot handle the conversation. We are going to prove it is possible in this country to have open dialogue on a serious issue without screaming, yelling, and failing to do the most important thing. Which is, listen, AJ and Hayward, you're up first. AJ and Hayward, welcome to the program. The floor is yours.
I just want to say one quick thing. If Nike really wants to bank off a cap, they should drop a line of Kaepernick knee pads.
It's not bad. I thought the same thing, but I didn't know if it was going to be quite high enough level material. That way when he kneels for the anthem, you would be all protected.
Does Nike make knee pads?
I'm sure they do. Yeah,
and if they don't, they probably could.
Yeah. They make everything. Those are shin guards.
Volleyball.
Yeah, they are knee pads in volleyball.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised that the first call was material rather than anything
material,
else. Because essentially that's what this show really
does. Your leadoff hitter who struck out looking, but he took a lot of pitches.
He tried to step into one, yeah. He struck out looking, but it's like 14 pitches back.
It's a tough subject. He came with the knee pads. I like it. Good humor.
You know what, maybe if we end up doing this for like an hour and it's just nothing but jokes and everyone having a good time with the topic, maybe that would prove the ultimate point.
That would be on brand, too.
That would be as on brand as this show could be. Sal and Vallejo. Sal, welcome to the show. The floor is yours. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? So my point that I just wanted to make that, I'm just so sick and tired of people being so angry about so many different things. And if it's not this, it's going to be something else. And like you guys were saying, I just don't understand why there has to be so much shouting, especially when the guy, I feel like there was a congressman, I can't remember what his name was, but he was all over Twitter because they had asked him this question at a town hall meeting, basically saying, how do you feel about this protest and the NFL players? And I felt like his answer was probably one of the best answers that I've heard, that yes, we have military men who go and fight for this country, but we've also had men and women who have not worn a military outfit and have still gone out and fought for our rights. people like Cesar Chavez, people like Martin Luther King, people like Rosa Parks, and everyone else nowadays that does grassroots, you know, type of things that help people. And I feel like at the end of the day, people just need to see it for what it is, or they don't have to do anything. I apologize. You know, but people should just sit and listen to what, you know, this man has to say and understand that what he's trying to do is make people better. What's wrong with sitting down, listening to someone, trying to help you become a better person? So I guess that's what I don't understand when we should be striving, everyone, to be better in some sort of way. So I don't get it.
A very uplifting phone call right there. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. That's what we do with this conversation. Now, to answer your first question in there, he doesn't understand why people are shouting. Let's break that down at its very core. Why do people generally shout? They shout because they want to be heard. And right now in this country, no matter what side of any conversation you're on, people feel as if they aren't being heard. That's how it's playing out right now. People feel as if they aren't being heard. So rather than listen to anyone else because you're tired of not being heard, you're going to shout and scream from the mountaintops. And that continues to have a snowball effect, which leads to less discourse and more animosity, less talk and more action. And that action isn't necessarily always a good thing. It can be a very negative thing, as we've seen in places like Charlottesville and beyond. So people are shouting because they want to be heard. Groups all around the country, both sides of the equation, not being heard. That's why we are where we are right now.
Yeah, and I think our platforms that are designed by the media and also through social media and also other platforms like Reddit, it's a lot easier to have the birds of a feather mentality where you gravitate toward your side. So anytime there is some difference of opinion, you end up clashing because you're used to the groupthink on your side, whatever side you're on. There's so much of that that when you actually do get together, it turns into a shouting match.
Well, the algorithms are gaming you, too. That's the
exactly.
same thing. Like, the three of us can go to Google right now and we can all type in the same exact sentence. But the same exact sentence is going to produce different results for each individual based on your previous searches. Why? Google has taken upon itself, much like other search engines, to try to figure out what it is you want. I think at the onset of all this, they wanted to just make your life easier. But that's not what's happened. So now you're searching and you're being steered right towards all the things that are geared towards you based on their determinations. So the same three people can get three completely different results. And because we're all living in these vacuums now, on Twitter, I follow people, and I don't even mean to do this, but you end up realizing you're following people who are like-minded. Because why would you click the follow button on someone you dislike? That person probably has an opinion you don't agree with. Right. So now you're following all these people on Twitter who have the same opinion. Every Google search and every Facebook feed, those algorithms are programmed to feed you what you want. You just end up living in a vacuum, and it further divides us from conversing with the individuals who have a different opinion, so that by the time we actually do have those conversations, they're not conversations, they're screaming matches.
And it's tough, you know, try to be a little, you know, a person of color to be at a school that's predominantly white, and you have daughters and sons there, and you tell them to stand up, and I say, but do things the right way. Don't argue. Sometimes you scream so loud no one can't hear anything you're saying. I said, listen, take it in. And if you don't feel uncomfortable, don't get in the conversation. But how do you feel, you know, how is, you know, it's different when your kid's at the school and parents are telling them, oh, he's ignorant. This guy's an idiot. Oh, look at these, a bunch of crazy. And they hear it from their parents. And now you hear now you're a little black kid at a school that's predominantly white with 30, 40, you know, black kids in the school. And now you're in these clusters and these conversations and it's uncomfortable because you're in your skin and you think, okay, how are they viewing me? And those are times where these are teaching moments for everyone. So I think even if parents don't agree with Colin and don't agree with all these things, be careful of the words you say to your kids. Be careful because you do have a sphere of influence that leads to you, that permeates to your kids. And then they go to school and hear what they hear from the kitchen table. And they take that to school and you hear all this rhetoric. Prejudice isn't caught. It's taught. And so when we as parents, whether you're black, white, green, purple, it doesn't matter. The message that we give our kids, because there's a lot of black people that are racist and can teach kids hate and all those different things. These are moments that we teach. We teach tolerance. And if our country continue to do that on both sides, we can be better off. I don't have to agree with you, but let's respect one another's views.
The first stage of learning is silence. The second stage of learning is listening. that is lost on far too many people. Justin in San Ramon. Justin, thank you for the phone call. The floor is yours.
Good morning. Lowe, thank you. Even though you're a Charger, I appreciate what you just said, because that's what it really comes down to, is respecting our kids and understanding what we're teaching them, which is the only reason I have a problem with Cap is his mixed messages. You can't wear a Fidel Castro shirt to Miami. You can't have your girlfriend text messaging a picture that shows the owner of the Ravens and Ray Rice as Django. I mean, if you're going to stand for something, stand for it and stand on it.
True.
And stick with it. But my problem with Cap is that he's just a puppet. I mean, this is the same guy that wouldn't sign a kid from his local town a movie ticket, you know, the year after he went to the Super Bowl. He coughed an attitude. So I like that Nike is doing something political and standing up for an issue that we need to change, flat out, no matter what color you are. There's police brutality towards a certain group, and it needs to stop. But can we please get someone that is a little bit educated and stands on something that they can talk about instead of just being a puppet?
All right, let's stay right there. Don't hang up. Let's stay right there.
Okay.
Do we feel, and this isn't to challenge, again, we're listening and we're talking, is there an individual out there that we feel could represent a cause like this or another serious cause who wouldn't have skeletons dug up from somewhere in their past? Remember, we do live in an age now where every single young baseball player who has a good game is answering for previous tweets later that night. That does not mean it's right. I'm not advocating for it, and I'm not saying what these people do isn't wrong. But the point is, could we find someone that we wouldn't try to tear down? I get what you're saying about Colin. A lot of people with the socks and the way he's gone about it, it makes perfect sense. But is there an individual out there who could represent something like this without skeletons in their closet?
I don't think Cap has skeletons in his closet. These are things he's done now. And it's true. I mean, there's a lot of people like the pitcher that have done stupid things in the past. It's really tough to judge somebody on a 17-year-old star athlete's mind. Your mind isn't there, let alone how you are right there. But yes, there are a lot of athletes that don't have any cobwebs. And if they do, it's how you present it and you apologize for it and move on and make an example out of it that, again, I don't think Cap is mentally or intelligent enough to be able to move forward on the progress that we've made. But yes, I mean, there's Cam Newton's and
LeBron James, baby.
And there's plenty of guys.
LeBron James.
Appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. Now, to your point, LeBron James.
They'll still criticize him.
Could he honestly be the face of this movement without being cut down? The
no.
man can't even exercise his NBA free agent rights without being crucified by half the audience. The guy opened a school in Ohio, and he got about 6 minutes of credit before everyone pointed to the fact that he didn't pay for every single dollar of that school's budget. Therefore, he no longer deserves credit.
Should open two schools, really.
Yeah, you do see how we go after everybody. I get the point on Cap. I get it.
Here's the deal. There is nobody out there that you wouldn't criticize. Now, you might get less flack for certain guys, but there's no one out there. Even if you read that book that I always said I like to read, they still have a man who healed the sick, raised the dead, did all these wonderful things, and they still killed him.
Why?
We're talking about Jesus.
What had he done for us lately? You know.
There you go. So if that book is even a fake book, and if it's all fiction, why would he do all these great things and he still killed? Because people don't want accountability, and people scares people to hold people accountable. So I'm gonna look for this. I'm gonna look for a negative because accountability's being there, and I believe in forgiveness. Colin was wrong. I totally agree with that last caller. Castro socks, the pig socks, all the different Castro shirt. But can we forgive? We live in a country where, I'm on the other side. I believe that our president, he does a lot of great things. That's the reason why certain people vote for him. But morally, ethically, certain things you do that you say, wow, but is he still capable? And those are tough questions, and people have to really, that's why there's a lot of people that still love this guy, and people understand some of the things that he's doing. So, yeah, there's a lot of things. It's horrible. But we accept what we want to accept. And and that's the part that I just, like, teach tolerance, that there is some good and bad in everyone.
But you're teaching tolerance, I'm sorry, Joe, to a country that largely doesn't want to tolerate and never has tolerated each other. So I think Joe's right. Even LeBron James, he put him out there in his free agency and he's vilified, let alone if he actually took a stand on an issue. Remember, he did take the stand, and I think it's, what, Tony Lahren or whatever said stick to basketball or...
Yes.
Just dribble the ball.
Yes, yeah. Shut up and dribble.
The lady, no, that was a different young lady. Greta something, I want to say, from
what was her name?
Greta?
Yeah, it was
Greta Van Susteren, perhaps? I don't know. I don't want to put the wrong name on it.
I don't either, which is why I was reluctant. But to
what
the
do you mean
point,
reluctant? You still threw Tommy Lahren's name out there.
And I think I'm right, but that's why I wasn't so reluctant.
No, it was one of the older women. Shut up and dribble the ball. I know what you're talking about. So you're throwing out fake news.
Laura something.
There it
Laura
is.
Ingram.
There it is. Look at dibs. Violating everything by just throwing random people who don't deserve it under the bus.
Okay.
This was a civil conversation until that, dibs.
Yeah, I think Tommy would have liked to be there first, but Laura beat her to it, quite frankly. And Greta, we'll let Greta go too without a flag.
People suggesting on the text line you could use Steph Curry. No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. Steph Curry gets crushed in the media the next morning if he shimmy shakes after a three-pointer at the buzzer at the end of the third quarter of Game 5 of the NBA Western Conference Finals. Do you remember that?
Yes.
If he shimmies just a little bit, people, man, he is so arrogant. He is so arrogant. He can't be the face of basketball. No matter who you find is the face for anything, there will be people to tear that individual down.
Agreed.
So we can focus on that, but there is no person that universally will be accepted to endorse any product.
I agree. My biggest thing in the whole deal is parents and dads, moms, whoever's listening, just understand what we believe and the way that we deliver it to our kids, it affects our future generation. So whether side you want, present both sides and say, I wouldn't do this. Here's the reason why, but I understand. And here's the reason why they are, or he or she's doing it. As long as you give balance, that's because when your kids leave and they're your house, you got to realize they're still representing you as your family. And when you teach them hate or you teach them this is an idiot and all those harsh things, it permeates through that school. And there's other kids and other races that get to hear this vigor of that's not from the kids, but it's from you. So just be careful the way you go about anything that you discuss that's topic, that's issues that we all deal with.
Let's go back to the phones. Mike in San Jose. Mike, thank you for the phone call. The floor is yours.
Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air. 95.7 The Game. Good morning. You got to have your radio off at this level.
We will continue moving on, and we will not make wisecracks because we said, what did we say?
We said we'd be civil, and we wouldn't yell.
It's just nothing but derogatory comments from you.
That was a truism of radio.
Yes.
At this level, we are not in Poughkeepsie, people. This is the number four market in the country. We will have our radios off.
If we implement Lebatard's penalty box theory on this, his bit on this show, you're going to the penalty box.
Oh, no question.
We started this segment at, 7:18, and we said it was going to be about listening and understanding and civil discourse.
Right.
And yet, nothing but obscene comments.
Why?
From one Dan Dibley, the one with the most radio experience in the room.
That was quite civil, in fact. I didn't name call. I didn't shout him down. I simply reminded he and all of our great listeners, our ponderous listeners, to please keep their radios down when they're making the phone call. That's all.
Cornell in
Union
City.
If it's 2 minutes, I'm out.
Cornell in Union City. What's going on?
Morning, fellas. I appreciate you guys having me on. I just kind of wanted to touch on what Lo was talking about. So I have a son that's in a predominantly white school. And we've never stood for religious reasons for the national anthem. But for him, I have to explain to him, like, he would not play if he didn't stand. So even though I believe something completely different, I would not want to put him in a situation. It's never been a conversation before Kaepernick knelt. As soon as Kaepernick knelt, then the conversation went somewhere completely, totally different. No one cared if he sat down, did anything else before that. As soon as Kaepernick knelt, then it went a whole completely different area. Also, what I wanted to touch on was everyone is saying, oh, it's awesome what Nike did. But at the same point in time, people also have to understand it's about the bottom line. Nike did that also because I don't know if everyone knows, Adidas and Puma were offering Kaepernick contracts. So at the end of the day, it's about making money too. So that's just the points I wanted to make on that. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Those are great points, and they're 100% accurate. Puma and Adidas were offering million-dollar deals. Nike had to, you know what, or get off the pot with that. And that's why they decided, one of the reasons they decided to make him the face of this organization, of this cause. But at the same time, don't think for 1 second they didn't sit down at that meeting with Phil Knight and say, okay, we're thinking about making Colin Kaepernick the face of our 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign. How will this affect us financially? Or do you think they just skipped over that question? No, it's great. Let's get to the artwork. Let's get him in. Let's get a couple photos and slogan. Maybe we'll use the swoosh on this one. I don't know. And then we'll go forward.
They had a team of 10 people show the short-term stock hit, but the long-term benefit. And Anna threw out a number of, what, $43 million in the initial bump is going to be this. It's going to hurt us here and on and on and on. People can replace the socks that they burn, but that's not going to come for a month. I'm sure they financially went through all of it.
But it is interesting, Joe, that you hear even the blacks, people that are listen to the line. Lo, you sound like Uncle Tom, isn't it? You see how?
Hold on. Did someone say that?
Yeah,
on the fan line. Okay, well, you got to clarify that because Cornell just called, and I don't want that to be associated with the wrong person. Okay.
No, not
so.
Cornell,
I'm not looking at the fan line because I have a feeling it's.
No, but it's just interesting when you say, hey, this is the reason why I vote. It's not because I love Trump. I just said, hey, I thought change, and you think, okay, the system is broke, and you hear, but then you see, and all of a sudden you think, okay, how much is this gimmick, and how much is it real? And all of a sudden now you sit back and you're like, wow, I went down there and it's changed my perception of this man. But at the same sense, when you're honest and you tell people this, that you can steal from both sides. It doesn't matter, black, white. That's what I'm telling you. People look and say, wow, he's a sellout. He's this, that, and the other. And you got to be able to take it and understand, stand on where you're going to stand. And that's why I tell my kids, I say, no matter what, I can't make everyone like Dad. And everyone's never going to like you. I don't care what you do, what you say. You can buy them the finest gifts. You can do anything for people, but they are never all going to just love you. The day you think you get everyone to love you or accept you, you're foolish. That's never going to happen. But you got to stand where you stand, and you got to believe in the things you stand, good, better, and different.
That's why we're trying in this segment to just have open, responsible, reasonable discourse for about one full hour. That's what we're doing. We're listening. We're not arguing. Some of us may be taking thinly veiled shots at people on the phone lines.
It was unveiled.
Well, I'm not going to point anyone out, but if you wanted to chime in and identify yourself, I think that's noble.
And I'll take it.
If you'd like to sign up.
Any of the five people on hold, beware, bring your A game or I'm taking you down a peg.
But it can be done. That's the point of this exercise right now. This isn't just a conversation. So many people come at us and say we like to troll them. We like to have fun on this program, but we're also in the business of educating and informing. And right now, we're going to demonstrate from 7:18 all the way through the end of the segment that we're more than capable of having a conversation without screaming at each other, without cutting each other off, without treating each other with disrespect. And hopefully, if we bring you into it and we continue this sort of thing, maybe it rubs off. Maybe you can have a conversation on a polarizing topic without walking away feeling awful, without walking away having insulted someone to their very core. Maybe. And that's why we're bringing the phones in as well. Manny in Fremont. Manny, welcome to the program. The floor is yours.
Good morning, gentlemen. Longtime listener, frequent caller or infrequent caller, but I just want to drop a line and say, hey, I want to start off light. I found your perfect pitch man for this whole movement that we've been discussing. And it's not an athlete, it's an actor. It's Denzel Washington. If you can't stand behind Denzel Washington after his speech from Remember the Titans, I don't know what's wrong with you. Second, my issue with Nike, and this is where I get serious, fellas, my issue with Nike, outside of what I believe in with the whole Colin Kaepernick situation, is the hypocrisy of Nike. Not with how they are having all these sweatshops in these Asian countries and whatnot, like what you discussed, but the hypocrisy of Nike to put Colin Kaepernick on the face of its brand 2 years ago for his opinions. 2 years ago, they dropped quite arguably the best boxer my generation has ever seen and will ever see in Manny Pacquiao, because Manny Pacquiao expressed his opinion. And when Pacquiao did it, he didn't take a grandstand like Kaepernick did. He didn't, you know, bring notice upon himself. He spoke his opinion from the heart in an interview, and Nike racked him for it. That's what's making me upset right now. Number two, I want to reflect back on what a caller said about Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King. Hey, you know what? You're comparing Kaepernick to the two most iconic people that this movement has ever seen. And what I find disturbing about that is that to look at the context and not understand the pretext is where there is a disconnect between, you know, both sides of the fence here. Yes, Kaepernick and the pig socks, Kaepernick and the Castro shirt and all that stuff. I'm going to set all that aside. What my disconnect with Kaepernick and his whole movement thing is that he's
labeled himself as being blackballed and ostracized and basically profiled by the NFL, and that is not true. You got to remember, he had a team with the 49ers. He quit on the 49ers because of his hubris and his greed. He wanted to test the free agent market and make more money, and it blew up right in his face. Okay, so let's not make him out to be this messiah that a lot of people seem to consider him as.
All right, that is your opinion, and you are entitled to it. Manny in Fremont, thank you for the call. Referring to Manny Pacquiao, Pacquiao was very outspoken on gay rights, is I guess the best way I should go about saying that. Gay rights and gay marriage. And because of his position, the one he chose to take, Nike didn't see things eye to eye. They didn't see him the same way, and they decided to drop him from their endorsement contract. Whether or not you agree or disagree is up to you. We aren't going to necessarily dive into the nuance and specifics of that, but it is a point nonetheless, and it is one that's worth raising when Nike's going to take one stance but not particularly stand up for another.
I would wonder, you know what my thing to the caller would be, because I totally agree what he's saying. You don't.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.